and how we can best be effective in our lives. And one of the things that you talk about and you teach and you bring up is something about our inner authority. And what I was struck by is you really brought up to me how the inner authority could be our inherited beliefs. I mean, that becomes a kind of authority figure. I mean, we think of outside authorities, figures, but that these energies live within us, these inner authorities. And you even describe it as an inner patriarchy. I just delighted in hearing that because let me stop there and say, all right, that inner authority, that inner patriarchy, tell us about that internalized voice and how we can cope with that and make it less extant in our life.
Yes. Yes, I think you described that very well, Justine. These are the internalized beliefs that we have about ourselves, about others, about the world. Beliefs that are based on essentially an unexamined view. Again, they're the matrix, yeah, matrix of beliefs that we've inherited from parents, from family, from culture, from media, from this and that and the other, from religion. And we internalize those and then believe that's who we are. That's the many layers of the ego identity. Yeah. And when unexamined, we're really operating, if you like, on an unconscious level, very much like, dare I say it, automatons. Yeah. Because we're reacting from an unexamined standpoint, mostly. And that means we're operating in the matrix, if you like to. We can use that metaphor. And that's a prison. That's a prison that we either see or we don't see at some point if we look within deep enough and seek for freedom from our own suffering. Then we'll start to feel or sense that we're living inside some kind of prison wall. And then how do we break free of that? Yeah. And so authority, true authority, again, I prefer to use the word innate intelligence, or let's call it life's intelligence. It is not based on any belief system. It's not based on anything inherited. It arises out of an inner silence, and an inner silence that is not one that is repressing anything. I've got to be quiet, or I've got to have no beliefs, but the true realization of our essential nature. We go back to open awareness. As open awareness, there is silence. And out of that silence, there's a natural intelligence that responds naturally, spontaneously, organically, not from a place, again, of self-righteousness or opinion or belief or even thought activity. It's not based in thought activity, because thought is not trustworthy. It has a different function. Yeah, thought is a function that is pragmatic. It can focus in on a task and then it can be effective. But thought activity, when it is not functional, yeah, it's just simply thought activity, then that's like the flotsam and jetsam on the surface of the ocean. And then we go, oh, well, that's it. Oh, that's it. That's it. And that's not trustworthy. So we, you know, we're invited to come to that which is trustworthy, which is much deeper than any thought activity.
Oh, and we place so much emphasis on the mind in that activity. It's so good to take over, take control, and become, as you would say, the master of us. And I think you're absolutely right to point that out. There is something, Amoda, that you talk about that just is totally provocative. You say, and this has to do with spiritual bypassing, you say spirituality won't save you. It just imprisons you. Oh my goodness. Wait a minute.
Did I say that?
You did. You actually did. But I know that there, it doesn't, on the surface, it may sound like something like, what is she saying? But you go on when you do write about that. You do, or you're answering a question from some seeker there, and you're describing spirituality as not as a pursuit per se, but there's something more. So please unpack that for us a bit.
Yes, I mean, it really depends on the context. We can't take these statements as blanket statements, because in the context of what is offered in the book, at least, they are direct answers to direct questions from individuals. Yeah, so I speak to that individual. It's not really a blanket statement. But there is a little bit of a blanket there, which is that mostly, not always, and I've spent my whole life in a spiritual pursuit, so, but mostly, sometimes, I see that the spiritual identity, I'm being spiritual, I'm practicing spirituality, is often like a carrot that's dangled, or that it's the hope of salvation. And yes, spiritual pursuit in the sense of true self-inquiry is absolutely necessary to waking up out of the dream of ego identity. So that's why it's not a blanket statement in that sense. But to hold on to it as an idea of who I am, I'm a spiritual person, therefore I'm going to progress, or I'm going to get there, or I'm going to be saved somehow from the human experience, that's what the mistake is. Yeah, it doesn't save you from the human experience. The human experience is always here. Remember, duality within non-duality. Yeah. And so that's what it's really pointing to.
Yes, I get that it really is. We can get so focused on the pursuit that, and it goes back to that openness, doesn't it? It goes back to, okay, that striving and pursuit, and I'm going to arrive someday, and maybe I'll get it now, and maybe it's going to take me out of the mess of my life, and or the messiness of life, per se.
Yes.
And so you're always pointing us back to just fall into openness, and that's what's always available to us. I mean, it's always here right now. It's not something to strive for. It's just, I guess I said to myself when I was reading your responses and talking about openness, I was thinking, oh, all right, how do I do that? You talk about softly falling into it, so to speak. And I'm thinking, oh, just imagine myself just sort of falling into a deeply feathered bed of some sort, and just like relaxing into this soft, downy mattress that's just holding me and softly enfolding me. And I guess I needed that as a bodily thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like to say, okay, how can I go into openness? So I wanted to feel it in my body. Any suggestions there?
I think there are many ways. I mean, that's one way, is to experience it energetically. That's what you're speaking of. It's an energetic, visceral experience. And it's as if the body relaxes and opens. Yes. What I like to point to that is, it's almost like the direct way, you know, that's included what you speak of, but the direct way is, rather than trying to open, is to see how the ego forms itself in every interaction. And if we see it, and what I mean by see it, it's again a sensitivity to it. It forms itself whenever we create a resistance. This shouldn't be happening. It forms itself when it finds a position for itself. I'm this. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm unlucky. You know, something good happens. I'm blessed. Something bad happens. I'm cursed. Whatever the identity formation is in that moment, and resistance is one of the most direct ways of seeing this. It's in that moment that we can actually stop. It's in that moment that that stop is the surrender. And it's that, if we that's true inquiry, yeah, true seeing, clear seeing. It's that that allows our fundamental nature as openness to reveal itself. So then we're not trying to open, we're not trying to relax. Although these are helpful supports, if you like, along the way, but again, that's from the periphery of the self. This is about allowing the periphery of the self to come undone. That's what I mean by falling open. You don't have to do the falling. What falls open is the egoic structure. Instead of being a closed knot of identity self, it comes undone. And in that, your true nature is openness, is revealed, and you start living from that. So you don't have to do the openness.
There's no doing. It's being is really what you're talking about. I want to bring up when you talked about, okay, when we're in resistance, that's kind of a key. And I would wonder about just how is it, what help do you have for us to actually be conscious of the very fact that we're in resistance, you know? So I want to talk about that in just one moment, but I do want to remind our listeners that I'm here with spiritual teacher Amoda Ma, and she is the author of Falling Open in a World of Falling Apart. And this is a book actually of a compilation of talks and with students, and actually you'll have questions from the students and what you're responding to, what are their questions, or these seekers, and they're asking you these questions. So that's what this book is about. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with spiritual teacher Amoda Ma, and she's the author of the compilation, not so much an author, but her teachings are in this book, Falling Open in a World Falling Apart. And I was asking you about resistance and what help you might have to help us know and be conscious when we're in that place, because we can go, it's like automatic. That's where it is. And so help us.
Well, we all know when we're suffering, when there's tension, when there's a fight with reality, an argument with reality. This shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be feeling like this. Yeah, we may feel sadness. We may feel brokenhearted. We may even feel anger. We don't like it. We don't like uncomfortable emotions. Or something happens in our lives, and that happening, yes, it brings up a feeling. We might be scared. We might be uncertain. We don't like it. And so we try to stop that. We try to either numb it or distract or replace it with something else. There's an argument. I think we all really, if we were honest, know when we're arguing with reality. Now, we may not know and see what the root of that argument is. And that's really what I offer and guide people to through dialogue and inquiry, what the root of that suffering is. So the only offering here really is to notice and be honest where you're arguing with reality, and to notice how that creates tension mentally, physically, emotionally, how it creates fear. And that's resistance. All of that is resistance. And resistance is suffering. You are not at peace. You are not happy. You are not still. You are, yeah, and so on. And it's not about getting rid of the emotion. It's about ending the argument with your experience. And ending the argument is a kind of tenderness towards the experience. I'm sad. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, even before you say, I'm scared, I'm sad, there is just a kind of texture, a texture that I might call sadness, but if I'm just sensing the texture, it's got no name. Well, already resistance has come undone. It's like the sky kissing the clouds. Instead of the sky trying to reject the clouds, so we come to know sky nature. That's the source of peace. The feeling may change, probably will, just like clouds, they change. The circumstance may or may not change, but that's not the point. The point is your relationship, how you meet it. Is there a kindness, a tenderness, an openness? That's the beginning of transformation. The clouds are always changing, whether the clouds are turbulent, stormy, dark, gentle, wispy, or not there at all. Sky is always here. But that sky can only be known, recognized, when we stop fighting with the reality of the weather.
I'm reminded the idea that's so strong in us is this self-righteousness. Like, I really know how it should be. I know what's wrong with the world and society and all of that, and what these people are doing wrong. Self-righteousness is a big one. Do you have any comment about that?
Yes, I think that self-righteousness, whether it expresses itself in relationship to society or the world or our own lives, that's an expression of the the matrix, the prison. We can use a whole load of different words here, but the matrix, the pit, prison, the knot of the ego identity. It's an expression of that, and that when it comes down to our own experience, never mind the projection onto society, but when it comes down to our own experience, self-righteousness expresses itself as, this shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be feeling this. This should not be my experience now. And then we either suppress, deny, turn away from, pretend, or try and control, get rid of, and therein lies the root of suffering.
Right, exactly. So you're saying that to continue to stay immersed, and again, I'm going back to the words of the messiness of life, of the all that's coming at us, it's to hold that, though, in a, maybe, can I say, in a bigger container that is not dual, that doesn't put me at war with that which is, or that's what is emerging out of society or out of the climate or whatever it is.
Yes, I think that, you see, we often look at it almost back to front. We're looking at society and the world and the climate and this, that, and the other, and trying to find, if you like, a solution. I don't mean a pragmatic solution. There may be pragmatic solutions, but a solution to our own angst. Yeah, in that realm. Again, that's the periphery. We need to look here. We need to look at the immediacy of our own experience and look at where we are at war with our own experience. That's where change happens. When we stop the war with our own experience, in other words, ending the argument with reality as it's experienced here and here and here and here, then a fundamental change or shift in consciousness takes place. We are liberated, or we wake up out of the matrix of that argument-based perception. And then everything changes, the way that we relate to ourselves, the way that we relate to others, the way that we relate to the world, the way that we relate to society, the way that we relate to the climate. Everything changes from the inside out. That's where the war has to stop first. Otherwise, there's no change. Otherwise, we're trying to control ourselves on the surface. And that might be a temporary solution, but it's not the ultimate solution. Change must happen from within.
What you're talking about is where how we face that is an unbroken space. Even if the world is broken, that we need to stand in some sort of unbrokenness in order to have right action and have power.
Yes, yes, yes. So just going back to that, when the argument ends within, yeah, in our direct experience, yeah, and this becomes almost like a new paradigm within us, yeah, from that place, we're going to be less concerned about fighting what's wrong from a place of self-righteousness. But we're going to be, if you like, a whole new dimension of creative infinite potential opens up. We're probably more likely to have a solution, a creative solution, or a birth of something new that is not a fighting against anything, but a birthing, a bringing forwards of something creative and harmonious, whether it's in our own lives or on a worldly level or whatever, through whatever modality of our work, our passion, our mission. Yeah, it'll give birth to something new. And that's a whole different paradigm to self-righteousness.
Yeah? For
sure. So action is taken. And that's what I call intelligence, true innate intelligence, life's intelligence and its infinite possibilities are revealed to us when we end the argument, because there's no more noise, there's no more division, an open space. So this is on a on a more worldly doing level we're speaking of now.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'd love to, we only have a moment, 2 minutes left here to really, I'd love to go out with grace. And what is grace? What is this level of being, and how is it, how can we access it?
If you're speaking of grace, it's very hard to define. It's a little bit like openness. You can't really find a definition for it, although I'm sure there are many definitions out there. My only knowing of grace is that everything is grace. The river of life, when, if you like, experienced from a place of the knowing, and I don't mean intellectual knowing, but the living of open awareness, everything flows through this experience like a river. I experience that as grace.
Beautifully said, beautifully said. Thank you for that image. I've been speaking with teacher Amoda Ma, and she is the author of Falling Open in a World Falling Apart. And if you want to know more about her work and her blogs and all of her teachings and where she might be appearing in events, both on Zoom or in person, you can go to her website, amodama.com. And she spells her name A-M-O-D-A-M-A-A, amodama.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3788.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah Zucker, author of Vitality Map. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about...
The SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance, referred to as DNA.
is a student-led network of community members who identify as disabled, autistic, neurodivergent, deaf, mad, and or as having a disability, a chronic illness, long-term condition, or a mental illness. At DNA, we work together to create campus change. We address ableism, and we promote disability justice while opposing oppression in all of its forms. We are the SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance. We are DNA. We provide support for students who are having difficulty with their schooling or accessing the services they need. Email access@sfss.ca or drop by the DNA Resource Center, room 1300 in the sub-building. That was access@sfss.ca, room 1300 in the sub-building.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
You're listening.